Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about spiritual understanding that demonstrates divine law. In this show, spirit will be discussed as a valuable principle, not an abstract term, but a reliable force. Listen as we explore spiritual identity as expansion into self-completeness. Matter disappears under the microscope of spirit. Mary Baker Eddy. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and validate yourself spiritually. Swami, today's title of the show is Spiritual Understanding That Expands into Self-Completeness. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that may have their own idea of what spiritual understanding means, but what does it mean to you?
Spirit is the invisible, intangible omnipresence. It is the void or the nothing that they talk about in science, but it's the void or the nothing out of which everything comes. It's just pure consciousness, unadulterated, pure consciousness. And it doesn't report in our five senses at all. So our direct experience with what spirit is would be basically the sleep from which we return when we have no recollection, where our consciousness returns to the unified state. Because spirit is whole, it's complete, it's absolute, and it's one. And so spirit is that sense of oneness.
So when we're talking about spiritual understanding, what do you hope that people interpret that to mean?
Well, we hope that it is experienced as the truth of their being, the divine idea of who they really are. What a lot of us don't understand is that we have to give up this personal sense of I in order to realize this identity. That spirit is the dissolving force of this universe. Spirit translates everything back into itself. I'm starting to learn myself is that the human experience is really a false sense of what is really here. It is the false activity of a mortal mind, a mind that works on duality, that comes out of a belief in two powers. And so as long as we accept the testimony of our five senses, we are in violation of this spiritual presence. And what we have to do is we have to give up this mortal sense of who we are and then accept this invisible, intangible, void or nothing as the truth of our being. And that requires a little bit of faith because you're giving up what is visible and tangible. And then, of course, the other barrier to this whole thing is the mental realm that we also have to come out of, not only the belief in matter, but we have to come out of the belief in mortal mind. The changing conditions of a personal mentality have to be given up. And then we have to let our identity be assumed by spirit, which is invisible and intangible. And in the framework of doing this, we're trying to cultivate spiritual sense so that you're not just being what we call senselessly optimistic, and you don't just want to deny the testimony of your senses or the information that is coming from your mortal imagination, but you want to know the truth. You want to know this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence is the only truth in this universe.
So what you're saying is for us to understand ourselves spiritually, we have to release the thought that we are flesh, we are bones and all of that, and we have to understand that we are made from this invisible, intangible life force.
Right. That's a tall order for most of us. And especially the way that we're socialized with our belief in matter and our attachment to it. And everything that we do is about trying to preserve it and extend its apparent life. Whereas in fact, what we really need to do is put it off. We need to give ourselves a half a turn and identify with this immortal sense of who we are, which is 180 degrees from this mortal sense.
Well, earlier you had mentioned the personal sense of I. What does that look like when we're absorbed with that?
Well, it starts out with a perspective that believes in the many, that there is me and you and everybody else out there, and that we have a belief that there are many minds, and we have a belief that there are many lives. And so the entire thing is really driven by belief. And what we're trying to do is learn how to come out of that, because it hypnotizes us. You think that you're a separate entity. You think that you are vulnerable. You think that you have a lifespan. And so as a result, you're accepting that you are a mortal creature with needs, that you have wants. And of course, one of the big things now is that you have purpose. But in truth, we are an eternal spiritual being. We are the expression of an indestructible principle. But in order for us to demonstrate that, we must know ourselves to be spirit.
Well, I want to get back to the title of the show, and that is spiritual understanding that expands into self-completeness. Now, what do you mean by self-completeness?
Yeah, self-completeness comes under the heading of what we've been talking about since the inception of Institute for Personal Development, which is total consciousness, the goal of Kriya Yoga. And we must understand at this point that human consciousness, which works on duality, belief in two powers, does not comprehend total consciousness or this truth of being. And so we have to forsake these modes of mortal thinking and then accept this one mind, divine omnipresence, as our mind. And this will help us rise above that personal sense into an understanding of ourselves as being the one divine life.
And so how would we go about accepting that?
Ideally, we accept it through an understanding that comes with what was called the Christ. The Christ is what makes this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence intelligible to human consciousness. We need to cultivate spiritual sense, so that you're not just giving up the testimony of your five senses, but you're upgrading, that you're now relying on what it doesn't report in your five senses, but is the truth of your being. It is a process. we're actually starting to test the waters, that you go from belief. I think you start with a belief that it exists, and then you develop faith. And in that development of faith, you start to demonstrate it as a principle, so that you're starting to see some of the results of this shift in your awareness from believing in matter to now having a sense of belief in what isn't reporting in your senses, until eventually you graduate into understanding, where now you live out from this one divine life.
Well, there might be people out there that would believe in it if they saw it, and they don't necessarily have this faith, but it's more like, well, show me and I'll believe it. So how do we get past that?
God says, trust and I will show. And man says, show and I will trust. We have to rise again out of our mortal beliefs across the board. And a lot of our human theories and concepts that really prevent us from unlocking this hidden potential that is available to each and every one of us. For some, it comes as a flash from the Christ. And then others, we have to work at this on a regular basis, that you are trying to have fidelity to what doesn't seem to be appearing in your five senses. And you're working with information that you're getting from books and conversations or from scriptures that you've read, but we have to rise above the academic level. We can't just talk about being spiritual. You can't even just believe that you're spiritual, that you must have faith. And faith means that you're starting to trust. And in your trusting of this, then it will start to show some of its fruits to you. As spiritual gains more and more of your consciousness, then you'll have these more profound indications of the divine idea than the denial of that because of our belief in matter.
So spiritual understanding will give us that expansion into self-completeness, which is what you said earlier means total consciousness.
Right. That whole process of when we now identify with spirit, we put off the old man. This begins the process of the spiritualization of thought. And in that process, there is an expansion of consciousness. And it kind of reminds me of the difference between being in a dark room with a flashlight. If you were in a dark room, of course, you can't see anything. But if you're in a dark room with a flashlight, you can see a small section of whatever that beam of light illuminates for you. And you start to work with that. And what we have always instructed was to move that light around so that you can get a better understanding of the landscape of your consciousness, until eventually you reach that point of understanding where it's like being in a lighted room, where you can pretty much see wherever you look. And so the same is true with this acceptance of spiritual identity, that when you're first starting to believe that you are an eternal spiritual being, then you kind of have the flashlight. And if you can start to move that around a little bit, it starts to open up the aperture so that now that beam of light broadens. And now you can start to see things from a more spiritual perspective.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga.
This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to talk more about this spiritual identity. And in the opening, we said spiritual identity as expansion into self-completeness, which we talked about just a few moments ago. But we have a quote here by Mary Baker Eddy, and that says, "Matter disappears under the microscope of spirit." I really think we should have you break that down for us.
One of the things that we used to always say is completion can never take place in the physical plane. You cannot complete yourself in this dualistic sense of reality. And so in order for us to experience completion, we have to transcend. Basically, I think that's what Mary Baker Eddy is talking about. Matter disappears under this spiritual sense of self because it reveals the truth that you are already complete. It's not something that we need to do. It's just that we believe that we're not. In that belief and in that acceptance that I am a mortal, finite, corporeal being, I am in denial of the truth of my being. And spirit is truth. And Mary Baker Eddy uses 7 words that she talks and describes God with: truth, principle, love, life, spirit, mind, and soul. Spirit is truth, and truth dispels the error, because the human experience is the false sense of life. It's not the truth. And so the more that we start to identify with ourselves spiritually, the more truth will be revealed. And as a result, it will have a profound effect on our external experiences, that what is reporting in our 5 senses will now be individualized from divine mind as opposed to being individualized from the world mind. It is the human thought about what's really here.
Well, I want to talk more about the word transcend and how is that important for us in the spiritual understanding.
In order to actualize total consciousness, we must transcend the limits of corporeal sense and accept divine consciousness as our consciousness. To transcend, we rise above the 5 material senses and the changing conditions of the personal mentality, and then we abide in the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. You've got to be very careful that when you separate your sense of self from matter, that you don't get caught up in mortal mind, the modes of mortal thought. You keep going until you get to the divine mind, the invisible, intangible.
Well, you said that word accept again, when you said accept divine consciousness as our consciousness. What does that look like when we're doing it, and how do we accept it?
Yeah, well, what we've been doing is we've been practicing keeping our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind. And again, divine mind is invisible, it's intangible, but it is entirely productive of the fruits of the Spirit. In the Bible, the spiritual fruits that they talk about are peace, love, joy, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, patience, kindness, temperance. These are the things that we want to start to look for. And you make your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of this divine mind, which isn't reporting in your five senses, but as you're cultivating your Christ sense, your spiritual sense, you're starting to understand this Word of God, this still small voice that they talk about in the Bible. The more that you comprehend that and you let it govern you, you literally let divine mind take over the scientific government of your body. Let it express itself through you. And you know that you're expressing the divine mind because of what is appearing in your five senses. Divine mind, this truth of being, will correct your thought. And in that shift in awareness, in letting this divine mind express itself through you, it must correct what is appearing in your five senses and reveal more and more of these divine qualities. All the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to God. I really like what the Bible says in John 1:3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So what he's talking about is that what wasn't made by God wasn't made. And if God made it, it must have these divine qualities, which means that anything that does not have divine qualities is not backed by divine law. And so as a result, you start to see the unreality of what seems to be a creation that has lack, limitation, discord, sickness, suffering, disease. These are not divine qualities. This is not divine creation. And what we find is that these are the things that rely on belief for their existence. As you start to unbox this whole thing, you see that by giving up personal sense, this personal sense of I, you create the opportunity to get out of these false beliefs. And then you let this truth of being start to guide you from within.
So I have a curiosity about what you're just talking about. You're talking about the spiritual fruits. Again, it's peace, love, joy, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, patience, kindness, and temperance. I know people that may not exude those fruits. And even myself, I probably don't exude those fruits 24/7. So would that mean that I am not made by Him? I am not made by God?
To answer your question, the human experience is not a divine creation. That what is made by God is spirit. As you start to progress in this process, these things that are reporting in our five senses, even the words, peace, love, joy, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, patience, kindness, temperance. They're very different when they're understood spiritually. On a spirit level, that's all there is absolute peace, absolute love, absolute joy, absolute faithfulness. There's not a peace that can become disturbance. There's not a love that can become hate. That's the human concept, the human belief about the Word. Now, the divine creation, the divine idea is perfect, and it's right here, right now, and each and every one of us is the divine idea. We make a choice. We either accept it as our identity, or we say that, well, I'm going to die, or I'm sick, or I'm in pain, and therefore I mustn't be this divine child. And so in your denial of that truth, you don't demonstrate. And so what we're learning is that you start by accepting spiritual identity. You start with this Christ within, the spirit within you. You recognize it for its fruits, and then you start to look for that in your external experience. It's kind of like if you ever use a camera that has a split image focus on it, you're really trying to line up what is appearing in your five senses with how you're thinking, which should be corrected by the divine idea, which will reveal the truth. And this was how you learn how to heal the sick, reform the sinner.
Well, I have another curiosity about the opening. We were going to discuss spirit as a valuable principle, not as an abstract term, but a reliable force. So what do we mean as spirit as this reliable force?
An important thing to understand is that spirit as a reliable force is not something that we as a human being can use to improve our human experience. God is not a force that we use on a personal level. That's, I think, one of the biggest mistakes that we make with a lot of our praying and asking and seeking and begging. We're not understanding spirit is here right now and functioning. God's creation is right here, right now. All we have to really do is recognize it and then just let it govern us. It's a reliable force because it's one power. There aren't opposing forces in the kingdom of heaven. And so we have to rise out of our belief in duality, this belief in two powers, and accept spiritual identity, and then live under the government of this divine law, which doesn't have any opposing force to it.
Well, I think we have a quote here from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 264, if you'd like to recite that for us.
Yeah, Mary Baker Eddy said, "When we realize that life is spirit, never in nor of matter, this understanding will expand into self-completeness. Finding all in God, good, and needing no other consciousness." This is what we're talking about, that if God is all and God is good, that means that all is good. And so anything that doesn't have that quality can't be created by God. And so by us rejecting anything that is not created by God, because we're working with this divine idea that spirit is a principle, it is a law, but we must have fidelity to it. We can't drop back down into a belief in two powers and be under the law of karma, that we must rise above the limits of karmic law into the expanded sense of self, this belief in one power, this truth of being.
Well, we do have to start closing down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there on the homepage and you see the fading banner and it says Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that on. That will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then on the Products tab, if you click on Online Classes, that will direct you to all the classes that Swami has available to further your spiritual developments. So Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and validate yourself spiritually. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.